Turn with me in your Bible this morning to Genesis chapter number 1. Actually, chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3:15 will be our text this morning that we will begin with anyhow. Genesis 3:15. These are the words spoken by the Lord to the serpent in the garden after Adam and Eve have sinned and sin has now entered into the human race. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. The Bible says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is a very important verse in the Bible. This is the first mention of the coming of Christ in the Word of God. You have to carefully look at this verse so you can determine the pronouns and who is being talked to. But now that Eve has sinned, we have the announcement of what is happening, going to happen. The Bible says that there will be enmity between thee, that's the serpent, and the woman, and between the seed of the serpent and her seed, that's the seed of the woman. It, that is the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head. In the Bible, a head wound is symbolical of a fatal wound. And thou, that is the devil, the serpent, shall bruise his, that is the seed of the woman, his heel. A temporary, a less than fatal wound. And here we have the mention that the seed of the woman is going to bruise the seed of Satan. A mortal wound, a fatal wound. A complete destruction of Satan and his seed. Behind all of this is the obvious message that it is through the seed of the woman that the deliverance to mankind was going to take place. Now, obviously, Eve did not understand this. She understood it to what degree she understood this, we do not know. Obviously, we can look and tell exactly what this is referring to. This is referring to the coming of Christ. The seed of the woman. And of course, the announcement to Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." We have the expectation of the coming of Christ. Adam and Eve, the world under the curse of sin. The announcement to Eve and Adam. The day you eat that fruit, you shall surely die. And so, ever since that day, man has been under the realm of death. Everyone in this room will die. The hour after this service, everyone in this room will be 1 hour closer to death. Romans 5:12. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. We have the other half of Genesis 3:15. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The curse of sin, the death that's a result of sin. We live in a day in which there are people who do not know what sin is. Seemingly, they have a twisted definition of sin. People maybe don't even understand the realms of sin, but everyone is experiencing the realm of sin, because everyone will die. And everyone will die is because everyone is a sinner. And Adam and Eve, the moment that they sinned, there was a difference. The devil told them, the day you sin, you'll be like God. You'll know the difference between good and evil. Well, there's a little bit of truth to that. But the reality of it was, once they sinned, they knew evil. And it was more powerful than them. And they knew good, and they were unable to do it. And so the day that Adam and Eve sinned, they came under the realm of death. They came under the penalty of sin. They came under the realities of the power of sin and the lack of ability to do that which is right in the sight of God. And so, from Genesis chapter 3 until this day, and if we can put it in the sense of from Genesis 3 until the day that Christ was born, the world was in expectation. The world was in anticipation. The world was in need of this deliverer. And throughout the Bible, we have the anticipation of the coming of Christ. Why? Because of sin. because of death, the penalty of sin. Because of man needing to be rescued from the realm of death. The big question is, did Adam and Eve believe the message that God gave them? Did they understand what this message was? The Bible tells us a couple interesting things. It tells us in chapter 4, in verse 1, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I believe that as you look at this passage of Scripture, Eve thought that this was the Messiah. This was the one who was going to deliver her from her sin. Now, Adam and Eve were the only people that ever existed on this earth who were on both sides of the fence. They were created in fellowship with God with eternal life. And when they sinned, now they were in the realm of death and the penalty of sin. Before they sinned, their children would be born with eternal life. But now that they sinned, their children would be born with eternal death. Before they sinned, their children would be born the children of God. But after they sinned, their children would be born the children of Satan. And the experience of sin and death must have made Eve very anxious. Very anxious for this realm of sin and death that they were experiencing for the deliverer to come. And they were so anxious and so expecting this deliverance and this deliverer that would come from her seed would be born of a woman that when she brought forth her first son, she said, oh, maybe this is him. But it wasn't. In fact, her first son was a murderer. Her first son exemplified the sin nature of man left to itself. And so ever since that day, the human race was in anticipation for the coming of the Messiah. If you turn to other places in the Bible, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Now here we have the revelation of the anticipation of this child, that not only would he be the seed of the woman, but this child would have a miraculous birth. This child would be born of a virgin. This child would be born apart from human male conception. This child will be born of a virgin. Of course, it would be hard for people to figure out how this would happen. It would be hard for people to contemplate how this could ever be. But there's going to be born a child. There's going to be the seed of Adam and Eve. This child is going to be born of a virgin. Now we know there's a reason for him being born of a virgin. Two reasons among many. Number one, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." And according to the Bible, the sin nature is passed on through the man. And so, a Savior who is going to redeem mankind could not be born of a man, because he would be born a sinner. The Bible tells us that in Matthew, of course, that Joseph thought that he would that he would divorce his wife. They were not married, but they were engaged. The Bible says in Matthew 1:18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." But Joseph didn't understand this. The Bible says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a righteous man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Joseph was going to divorce Mary. Now, they weren't married, but in the Jewish law, espousal was a legal ceremony. And that legal ceremony was one in which the father of the bride promised a virgin woman to this man. Now, just unless you are unaware of this, this is what God expects. A virgin woman to be married at the altar. Now, we don't quite comprehend that. It's interesting. Earlier this year, I had a phone call. It was from a group in Hollywood that was making a documentary. And they said, "We understand that your church believes in courtship." And I said, "Yes." She says, "Well, we're making a documentary about courtship. And we would like to be in contact with some families who are involved in courtship." And we have an 8-part series that we are going to document, and we're going to be producing about courtship. And if you know any families who are involved in that process, this is kind of new to the world, and not to us, but to the world. And it says, if you know anybody, they can earn up to $40,000 by being involved in this documentary. We're paying them $5,000 for every segment of this documentary that they would be involved in. And so, to make a long story short, I wasn't able to talk to this lady. I had a meeting, and so I said, I'll call you back, or I'll talk to you again. And I began to think about what she was telling me, and I began to listen to what she was saying, and I began to tell her something that she didn't know. What she was looking for is she was looking for churches that had an espousal ceremony. And I said, well, I think what you're looking for you are looking for a Jewish people with a Jewish background, not with a Christian background. And you're probably looking for maybe a messianic Christian church, not a true New Testament church. And because she was looking at this from that there would be looking for a church that has an espousal ceremony, where the bride-to-be and the husband and the families go through a ceremony in which they promise themselves one to another. And et cetera. And they were looking for people who had gone through this process all the way to the end and were successfully married, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, I'm afraid you're looking for something that we don't do. But here in the Bible, Mary and Joseph were espoused. And Joseph didn't understand what happened to Mary. Joseph, obviously, thinking, she's with child. That means she had to be immoral. And our agreement is that I marry a virgin. And so he was going to divorce her. He was going to end that espousal, which is not the kind of we don't have espousal. We have marriage. And in marriage, people become one flesh. In espousal, you do not become one flesh. And in marriage, you become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man divide asunder. But in espousal, they have not been joined together yet. They have not become one flesh. And that's why in Matthew, it gives an exception clause about marriage and divorce. Because divorce can take place in the espousal period only. Joseph didn't understand what was taking place. My wife, he said, is with child. She's been immoral. I'm going to divorce her. And as these thoughts were on his mind, the Bible tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. This is the seed of the woman. the seed of the woman who is going to bruise the head of Satan. This is the seed of the woman who is going to come to this earth. God, the Son, in the woman was going to come. Take on human flesh to deliver us from our sins. And so the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, if you'll turn there, it tells us what was taking place. The prophet Isaiah said, a virgin shall be with child, and his name will be called Emmanuel, that is, God with us. And he was going to be the God-man. Verse 5 of Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's talking about Jesus Christ. He was equal with God. But the Bible says, verse 7, but He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He was made in the likeness of men. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The anticipation of man from the day of the fall, the announcement of the seed of the woman that was going to destroy the devil and rescue man from the curse of sin. And so we find this anticipation of the great event of God the Son coming to this earth. The great event of God the Son taking on human flesh. Of God the Son being born of a virgin. The anticipation. Now, why was there anticipation? Because of the bondage of sin. We already talked about Eve. Just a few days, maybe few months, maybe few weeks after the fall, she conceives. She's already been in the state of sin, in the fact of sin having entered her body, and the limitations now of sin, she's anxious for the Messiah to come. She mistakenly thinks it's her son, her first son. What a disappointment! Her son is the first murderer. Now, the anticipation is even greater, because she sees the reality of the sinful nature in a child. Someone was telling me a story about a little boy. And dad says to the little boy at mealtime, Don't take off your bib. And so, takes it off. Goes through a little exercise of correction. Brings him back to the table. And he says, now don't take your bib off. And little boy goes, psh. And so dad takes the boy to another exercise of instruction. Brings him back to the table and says, don't take the bib off. Goes to another lesson of instruction. Comes, brings him back to the table, says, don't take the bib off. Finally, on the seventh time, he comes to the table and says, don't take the bib off. And he says, child didn't say anything. He thinks. He might even raise his arm. But he didn't take the bib off. You know why? It took so long. Because he's born a sinner. He's born a sinner. And Eve had a son who was a sinner. But worse than that, she had a son who was a sinner who wouldn't get saved. Who wouldn't get saved. And the Bible tells us that first sinner murdered Abel. Because Abel got saved and Cain wouldn't get saved, and he was angry with Abel and God, and he slew his brother. The anticipation of Eve for the deliverer. You wonder if she went home that night after her godly son had been murdered by her ungodly son. I wonder if she went home and prayed, oh Lord, send the deliverer. We need to be delivered from this curse of sin. But what about man? What about man? We see the anticipation of man. Matthew chapter 2. Here come the wise men. Here come the wise men. They've seen the star of the Lord. They come to Herod and they say, where is he? Where is the King of the Jews? Where is he born? We want to come. We've come to worship him. And of course, they go to the prophets. And the prophets give us the answer. Where is this Christ going to be born? Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Here we find the eternal Son of God is going to be born, take on human flesh. And where is He going to be taken? Take on human flesh. Where is He going to be born? In Bethlehem. Not in Rome. Not in Jerusalem. Not in Nineveh. Not in Cairo. Not in Babylon. But in Bethlehem. What does the world think of this Christ? What does the world think of this Christ? We find that Herod represents that whole host of mankind. That as soon as they heard of the birth of Christ, they wanted Him dead. Wanted Him destroyed. And even so today. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light. You know, sin is so sinister. And sin is so evil. And sin is so dark. That rather than wanting to be delivered from sin, it wants to continue on in its sin. And even so today. Even so today. There might be some in this crowd even this day when it comes down to choosing between God and sin, they'll choose sin. On the other hand, think of the rest of the world. The rest of the world. Here was the Lord Jesus born in Bethlehem. Caesar didn't know about it. He was ruling the world. Herod didn't even know about it. And it was 5 miles away. He didn't know about it till the wise men came. The mass of mankind didn't know about it. And still today, the mass of mankind is in ignorance. You know, it's interesting, Anna Kenise, 2 years ago, she was going to be leaving Hungary to go to college. And so, there in Pate, she went to the grade school that she went to for a number of years and said goodbye to the teacher. And the teacher said, you can have a few moments and talk to the class. And it happened to be April. And so she talked to the class about, who she was and where she was going and why they were in Hungary. And she said... the teacher said, you can ask them anything you want. And so she asked her this class of 40 third and fourth graders, I think it was, or fourth and fifth grade, I can't remember. She said, how many of you can tell me what Easter is about? And they said, well, it's about the Easter Bunny. It's about going on an Easter egg hunt. It's about having a holiday. And these children were talking for a number of minutes. And finally, someone said, isn't it something about Jesus? And they didn't know they were asking the question. And today in the world, most of the world is still in that same realm. Ignorance. Why did Jesus come? Why was he born? Ignorance. On the other hand, I'm always amazed at what people God chose to visit the Lord Jesus. What people came at his birth? And the Bible tells us there in Luke chapter 2. It says, "And she brought forth a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Here we have a physical picture of a spiritual reality. Who was it that were there to greet the coming of the Son of God to this earth? The lowest, of the peoples of the earth. The humble shepherds. Not the kings. Not the philosophers. Not the religious leaders. The unknown. The humble. The down to earth. And it still is so today. Who is it that recognizes the greatness of his coming? The sinners who are looking for a Savior. Those that are bound in sin and want to be released. Those who know the true condition of mankind under the curse of sin. Even still today, it's not the kings. It's not the powerful. Yea, it's not even the majority of religious leaders. And yea, it's not the majority of mankind. It's those who recognize their need of a deliverer from sin. Those who are struggling or have struggled under the curse of sin. Those that know that there is a penalty for sin. Those who know that there's nothing that man can do to deliver them from their sin and the power of sin and the penalty of sin. All the world, all of history, in actuality, was looking forward to that great event, the day that the seed of the woman that would deliver mankind from the curse of sin and from the devil's enmity, the day that he would be born, that he might die. Truly, as you look at history, over the thousands of years until the birth of Christ, the greatest event to take place in the world history after the fall of man is the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's the event that we are remembering today. That Jesus Christ is God the Son, born of a woman, conceived of the Holy Spirit, who took on human flesh and came to this earth to save us from our sins. And even as then it is till today, he came to deliver those who want and need a Savior from their sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now we can celebrate Christmas, but young person, do you see yourself as a sinner? Do you see that without Jesus Christ, you are bound? You are bound in measure to be evil. You are bound by the curse of sin. Doesn't matter whether you are a child or an adult. We're all sinners. And maybe you're an adult and you're civilized and you got it all together. But whether you know it or not, you still probably are bound by the worst of all sins. You know what that is? The sin of pride. Because it's the sin of pride that says, I don't need Jesus Christ. And it's the same sin that the devil committed when he said, I will ascend above the throne of God. It is the same sin that Adam and Eve committed when they said, we want to be like God, knowing good and evil. And the same sin of many people today that says, I don't need God. But Christ came to deliver us from our sin. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you today for the Savior who came. The greatest event anticipated since the creation and fall. And Lord, I pray that we would think of it as the most significant event in all of world history, the coming of the Savior to die and His death on Calvary's cross. And I pray that, Lord, that birth has resulted in the greatest event in every person's life here. The day that they've repented from their sin, and turned to Jesus Christ to be their Savior and Lord. And Lord, and because of that, Lord, we thank you for that great event that will yet to come. His return and our rapture. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now our heads are bowed and eyes closed.